Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you that you have called us to let our light shine before men and women, boys and girls, that they may see your good works. Continue to speak a fresh word to our hearts as we listen to your preached word. In Christ's name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It comes from the gospel according to Mark, Mark's gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 20 to 24. Keep in mind that Jesus is with his disciples, and this is the last of his miracles. And not only that, but also this is the only miracle in the gospel where Jesus shares as it relates to destruction of a fig tree. It is also a symbol, an Old Testament symbol for the nation of Israel, the fig tree is. Listen to these words recorded by Mark. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them and you will have them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. Don't miss first base. Don't miss first base. Look to your neighbors and say the title with me. Don't miss first base. That's a good point. Don't miss second either. Yeah. Let me share with you and place it in context. As I said at the previous services, one rule of thumb is speaking to any audience is to know your audience and know the people whom you're speaking to and sharing with. Well, this morning, I'm going to take a chance and say that I know my audience. I definitely was going to talk about a ball and had three choices, but I feel the latter is the probably safest way to go. I was thinking one time to talk about Mega Ball or Powerball. Let that soak in for some of you. Amen. But I felt you didn't know anything about that, so I'm going to take the safe road and go with baseball. Amen. How many of you ever played baseball or softball or watched a baseball or softball game by show of hands? All right, there we go. Okay. Well, I want to share this morning as it relates, don't miss first base. The story is told that a batter was up. It was in the ninth inning, two outs, and he was up to bat. And he hit the ball out of the ballpark. He passed by first base. He touched second base. He touched third base. And he touched home plate. But the umpire called him out. He was out. Why? Because he missed first base. Don't miss first base as it relates to your walk daily with God. Let me share with you as it relates to this passage of scripture, because it is Jesus sharing with his disciples. They're walking along now as it relates to Mark's gospel, and they see a fig tree. And mind you, here's the self-appointed one who normally serves as the spokesman. His name is Simon Peter. Sometimes Peter would get it right, and sometimes he would get it wrong. But here, Peter is reminded of what happened previously. Because if you have your Bibles and look at Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, You'll see it's a reference of two situations in Mark's Gospel, 11th chapter, that many Christians and believers try and skip over. And the reason they try and skip over is because of two situations in the life of Jesus where it's clearly evidence that Jesus was upset. If you have your Bibles, look at Mark, the 11th chapter. The Bible tells us that Jesus was both human and divine. And Jesus goes into the temple. And while in the temple, he noticed people exchanging money, the money changers. What did Jesus do? He became upset and he turned over the table. And he said, "My house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. But you made it a den of thieves." And if you keep reading as Mark is writing and sharing his gospel right here in the 11th chapter, you'll see that Jesus and his disciples were passing through and Jesus noticed a fig tree and he was hungry. Now, mind you, the backdrop of this setting is that it was not time or the season for the fig trees to be in full bloom. And Jesus, reaching for a piece of fruit, but it was no fruit. It was dry, it was barren. And if you think about it for a moment, Jesus was sharing now a perfect illustration with his disciples that indeed, even though it's not the season, but there should be a bud or a sense of a light, as the choir was singing about the light, a sense of at least a dimness or a glimpse that indeed there is a bud that is coming to give birth to this tree to produce fruit. And he cursed this tree. Many people have a problem with Jesus going into the temple and showing that sense of being upset. They have a problem with Jesus cursing the fig tree. But be also reminded, the Bible teaches us, be angry, but sin not. And so later on, they pass this same tree. And Peter is reminded, "Master, here's the tree that you cursed." And Jesus shares with Peter and the other disciples, as well as us today, the number one principle as it relates to having a relationship with God is to have faith in God. To have faith in God. In fact, if you have your sermon notes, look at this bullet point question here, and only you can answer that question. It's a personal question. Have you taken the first step of faith? Have you taken the first step of faith? Have you walked out on faith, trusting God? Good Reverend Dr. Reverend Waters is sharing now with a Sunday school class who asked this question. This is a theological question. They asked, "How do I know the existence of God?" That's a good question. How do I know the existence of God compared to all of these other gods that they hear about? How do I know we're worshiping the true and living God? That's a great question. That's a great question. It is a great question because not only perhaps children have that question, but maybe you and me, and we want an answer. Oh yes, that question should have an answer. We come and we share together in worship. We come as the body and believers of Christ. We're told to have faith in God. We read in God's word in 2 Corinthians. We're taught by the Apostle Paul that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. How do I know that I'm worshiping God? Well, I must share with you that I can't bring God in here this morning and say, "Here's God." I can't even share with you as it relates to a picture of God being on his throne. But I'm so glad this morning I have evidence. I can't prove to you as it relates to the existence of God, but I got evidence that God is real and that God exists. How do I know? I want you to look to the right of you and look up front, look to the right and to the left of you and perhaps in the back of you. And I see nothing but evidence of the existence of God. Because I have witnesses in here that I've been to the hospital and seen you and seen how God has worked through you. And you're no longer in the hospital bed, but because of God, you're here this morning. I've been with others who have had grief and have been grief-stricken and have that experience, and I've had that experience as well. But I know this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was with me in the midst of being discomfort, in the midst of dealing with grief and sorrow. How many of you know God will make a way out of no way? There's evidence all through our lives about the existence of God. Everything that we have come from the loving hands of a God who sits high, but he looks low. God continues to bless us if we only believe and have faith in God. Have you stepped out on God's word and trusting in God and having faith in God? Hebrews, the 11th chapter in the first verse says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you know the outcome that is guaranteed of any situation, that's not faith. Faith is stepping out when you don't know or you can't see your way and trusting in God. I want to share a quote with you at the last service, and feel free if you want to do that, but that's a little bit more contemporary service. They had taken out their phones and they were taking pictures of this quote. It comes from Dr. Tony Evans, the pastor of Oak Cliff Fellowship Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. He says these words, "Faith is acting like something is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so simply because God said so." Isn't that good? I wish I would have said that. Boy, that's good. I want you to say it with me. Faith is acting like something is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so simply because God said so. That's faith. Faith will hold you. Faith will keep you. Faith will sustain you. Faith is more than a word in our vocabulary. Now, mind you, and we have an English professor here with a doctoral degree, faith is a noun. But faith operates best as a verb. That's it. It's an action. You have to put it in action. You have to exercise your faith day in and day out. Faith reminds us of how God loves us. The Bible even says that we are saved by faith through grace, through the gracious hand of a God who keeps loving us. We have come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms of God. Oh, I can't prove God's existence, but I got the evidence. The hymnologist said it this way. He reminds us, he walks with us and talks with us along the way, and all the joy that fills my soul. And there's joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So I want to share with you as it relates to don't miss first base. It is important for us to remember that because come along, there's a quote that I want to share with you now as it relates to Brother Brown. Jeffrey D. Brown says it this way, and it helps you fill in your blanks. Christianity is likened to a baseball game. Christianity is likened to a baseball game. Now, knowing my audience like I do, you know that Tuesday starts the what? The World Series. And my favorite team, America's team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, are in the World Series. Yeah, you got it. They're going to be playing Boston, but they made it. Baseball is extremely an intriguing game. If you notice the infield that was displayed on the screen, there's a first base, a second base, a third base, and a home plate. Well, let me share as it relates to helping you fill in your blanks of your sermon notes. Second base is referred to as baptism and church membership. At the last service, we baptized Jonah, the son of Theo and Aaron. And you see there where Steve has on a nice tower his name displayed. Baptism is extremely important. Baptism is an outward sign of inward grace, that God's grace is working on the inside. That baby Jonah called Alfred was baptized, that God's grace, prevenient grace, will continue to sustain him, and his amazing grace will keep him and then continues to justify him. Well, when we baptize that baby, we also remember our baptism. We also remember the grace of God that is on our lives. We move from baptism to church membership. Church membership is indeed greater than any other type of membership that you have. It doesn't matter. As wonderful as our organizations are in this community and around the world, nothing can compare to church membership. Church membership deals with what is eternal through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The church is an organism. It will continue to live on. Well, when you're part of the church, we should be part of God's church and the membership of God's church, the body of Christ. Second base is between first base and third base. You move from second base to third base. Third base deals with what? Christian service. We all should be sharing in the service of the Lord. I want to share with you as it relates to Ed. Ed is a 1980 graduate of DeLand High School. When he graduated from high school, his heart desire was that God would bless him to be a Major League Baseball umpire. He passed the courses. He's a Major League Baseball umpire. But he also received his flight license. He's a pilot. He has his own plane. You know what he did to help those in the panhandle, like we're going to help them this morning? He loaded his plane with the necessities of life that they need the most. And he flew to the panhandle and he delivered because of his Christian service and Christian witness. We all can serve God in numerous ways. You heard this couple as they shared concerning our Father's table. And there's so many different ways we can help those who are less fortunate. And that's on third base. But then we move from third base to home plate. Home plate deals with eternity and heaven. You've heard the cliche, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. We want heaven to be our eternal home. In fact, this is just a dress rehearsal when we come to worship as the people of God. This is just a dress rehearsal of how we're going to worship God day in and day out, all day and all night when we get to heaven. But don't miss first base. Don't miss first base. Here is Jesus with his disciples. They're passing through. Peter reminded him of that fig tree. But look, it doesn't matter what translation you have. I just read it from a different translation than what you have printed. But all translations have these words: have faith in God. Those are the words that Jesus shared with his disciples. He was reminding them of first base. have faith in God. Oh yes, it's wonderful to share in a baptism. It's wonderful to be part of a church membership. It's great to be part of Christian service. It's wonderful to look forward to sharing in heaven with our Lord and our loved ones. But don't miss first base. First base is acknowledging and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul said it a different way. If you have your Bibles, look at Romans, the 10th chapter and the 9th verse. Paul said it this way: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Save me, Lord. Save me from myself. Save me from my sins. Save me from my wicked ways. It is trusting in God, placing your whole faith, your whole trust in God. And he's worthy to be praised. Amen? Well, the next point is this point. As it relates to faith, and a clear reminder that faith is salvation. Trusting in a God who continues and will sustain us. I want to close, and I shared this at the previous services. As it relates to another member of the, well, former member now, the Los Angeles Dodgers, his name was Orr Hershiser. Orr Hershiser was a pitcher, and he was pitching in the 1988 World Series. Orr Hershiser put his trust in God. He believed in God. And it's a clear reminder that we all should continue to believe in God. We should share together in the corporate family and the corporate body of Jesus Christ our Lord. We even have creeds as it relates to the Nicene Creed and the Apostle Creed. The Nicene Creed comes and shares what we believe. The Apostle Creed talks about what I believe, but it identifies us. During each inning, as he was pitching, he would be in the dugout, but he would be by himself. And he would have a period of worship. And during his period of worship, he was giving God the praise. He kept singing a song over and over again. We had an opportunity to sing it this morning. Hymn number 98. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That's what he kept saying. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. He was willing to step out on faith and praise God. Are you willing? Do you praise God when you're on the apex of the mountain or in your valley lows? God wants us to continue to praise him and to give him thanks, to continue to lean on the everlasting arms of God. And God is worthy for us to lean on. I can't prove it, but I have evidence. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.